Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Work Trends with Megan M. Biro. Whether you're here to network, learn, or share, we want you to have fun. During this live broadcast and Twitter chat, we'll discuss the future of work with smart and entertaining guests who value today's business and its impact on the world of work for the future. Stay tuned, because we start in 3, 2, 1.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another informative Talent Culture Work Trends live podcast and Twitter chat. It is Wednesday. My gosh, we're in November already. I am actually here in Cambridge gearing up for some time at the HR Tech Connect event next week in Florida. You guys like that? You like Florida? Can somebody tweet that for me, please? Listen, thank you to everybody for tuning in. Today's Work Trends event is a timely topic. I don't know about anybody else, but the events yesterday that unfolded in New York City are just another event of devastation and sadness that continues to happen in the world. I think news like this can really bring people down. I know, you know, I was worried because I have a lot of friends who live in New York City who are actually using that bike path. I found myself needing to make phone calls or, you know, message people on social to make sure people are okay. You know, these are tough times for a lot of us, and I think staying positive and focusing on bright spots, I think it's important, and I think today's guest is definitely going to tell us more about what she's doing to brighten other people's day and how we can all get involved in making a difference. So we have here today Cheryl Rice. She's a leadership coach, author, speaker, and social entrepreneur who recognizes the need for people to have a sense of well-being and worth and truly believes we can show people their value with two simple and purposeful words: you matter. Last fall, Cheryl founded the You Matter Marathon. This is a global kindness, a non-running, we'll find out more about what that means, initiative dedicated to sharing business-sized cards with only the words You Matter on them. That's sort of interesting. So let's unfold that. People who participated shared cards during November with family, friends, colleagues, and even strangers. Pretty cool. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
You're welcome. So tell us, tell our listening audience more about who you are. Who is Cheryl Rice? What led you to be here today as an entrepreneur to talk about this You Matter Marathon? As I like to say, everybody has a story. What's yours? What's your career story? What's your life story? Tell us more.
Absolutely. Well, I would say that my life story actually began in earnest in terms of a relevant theme of my life story when I was 11 years old and I was shipped off to summer camp. And for many kids, that would be the highlight of their childhood. I mean, what could be better than an 8-week sleepover with your best friends? But for me, Megan, it was fairly horrifying. And I found myself at 11 at this overnight camp for 8 weeks, completely overwhelmed, overmatched, and incredibly homesick. And what's interesting is, we look back on our life and we see these pivotal moments and how they sowed the seeds of themes. And that was definitely a pivotal moment in terms of how I interpreted my experience of homesickness, that there was something wrong with me. And that's why I was sent to summer camp. And, of course, that couldn't have been further from my parents' intention in sending me to camp. Of course, they wanted me to have a great time. But for a lot of reasons, I really felt somewhat abandoned. And that theme of homesickness, I believe, kind of stuck with me throughout much of my life. And that sense of finding my worth outside of myself, not knowing how to make a home within myself. Interestingly, I became an outstanding coach and counselor to other kids with homesickness. And I actually stayed at that camp for 10 years and thrived in many ways as a camper and counselor. And one of the things that I found so uplifting at that camp and then beyond was really attuning to other people's sorrow and challenges and showing up to help them with tools and techniques. Of course, I didn't use that language at the time, but with ways that they could transform and make better their life experience. And I think that's what led me to a path of psychology. I intended to be a psychologist. I remember the day I spelled that word, psychologist, to my grandmother. I was so proud of myself when I could spell it, and I knew what it meant. And interestingly, I pursued that path through graduate school and got a master's in counseling psych and thought that would be my path to do clinical work. And very early on in some of my first jobs, I discovered I actually did not like doing the work of helping people with pathology, but I loved helping people fulfill their potential.
Yeah.
And so at that, well, that's
funny.
When I started.
You know, Cheryl,
I'm sorry, what was that?
This is it's kind of funny because you and I have a similar path then. I once was going to be that too. So there you go. You and I were just
Absolutely.
Talking and getting to know each other in the green room. So it's funny how you start digging into people's past and go, wow, you know, didn't realize that about you, Cheryl. So that's really interesting. Can you tell us, and I want you to go into some further detail about this, but give us some context. Where are you from originally, and where are you based now? And, you know, as we talk about the world of work, one of the topics that fascinates me continually is all this generational nuance, I like to call it. So if you're brave enough, we'd love to hear which generation you might be from, too, because I think it helps us understand, you know, what was happening in the world when you were 11 years old, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I don't mind at all. I'm 53 years old today. I'm very proud of it. Every day is a blessing and a gift. And so I grew up in the Philadelphia area, and I'm still in that area, and I love it here. And I have a practice now as a leadership coach. My practice is your vision, working with women who want to be leaders in their own lives and really just building on that theme of coming home to themselves. And I think so many people, but especially women, really struggle at times to be at home with themselves and then use that home base, if you will, to stretch into their potential.
Take us back to what we were just talking about before. So I want to bridge this gap between you're 11, you're at the camp for what sounds like a decade. What happened? You were in graduate school. Talk to us about your earlier career and then lead us to today.
Sure. So my very first job out of grad school was actually in a college environment doing some, I would say, light counseling. It was more social academic adjustment work with primarily freshman students. And what I learned there is how much I loved doing training and facilitating. And so that's when I transitioned into the corporate arena, into the area of learning and development. And for many years, I did training and facilitation and team building in both, let's see, we started in a technology company, and then I moved into healthcare. And as I continued to grow in my career, I continued to grow in my appetite for learning. And I received a second master's degree in organization development from Pepperdine while I was working full-time. And it was such a challenging experience, but such a great experience also to learn the different levers that really help people make positive change in organizations. As you know, it's so much beyond just a person's own appetite for change. There needs to be a system that's supportive of change. So I was in I was in corporate sector for about 15 or 16 years internally doing leadership development and organization change work, and really valued my time in those organizations, and then decided at one point it was time to go out on my own. And that was a really frightening transition to go from the cocoon of being employed full time. I wasn't married at the time, and I decided it was time to go out on my own.
Cool. Well, you have joined the masses of people these days who are considering themselves entrepreneurs and freelancers. We've got the gig economy, right? It's alive and well. So, you know, I think 5 years ago, if you and I were having this discussion, it would feel really novel. But to me at this point in time, it just feels like another day in the life of another entrepreneur. There's many of us out there, right?
There are so many.
So tell us about this You Matter marathon. What's all this hubbub about? Why should we care? How's that for a zinger?
Right. Well, I think you did such a beautiful job of making that point at the beginning of your show this afternoon. We should care because this is a world where people are starving for a meaningful connection and are looking for ways of reaching out, creating sense of belonging. And we see the cost, Megan, when people don't have that, when people are not feeling like they belong, and the horror that can happen when there's not a feeling of belonging. And we know so many people today, even though there are more ways than ever to connect through technology, we know that there's a crisis of loneliness, depression, and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And so people want to connect. And the You Matter Marathon, No Running Required, gives people a way, just one simple way, through a powerful gesture of making contact with another person and creating a sense of connection, valuing, and belonging. And the way that happens is through this You Matter card, which is a simple card the size of a business card. It's all white, and it has black letters, You Matter, on the front. That's all. And we encourage people to give out one card a day during November to strangers, to friends, to family members, to coworkers, people they interact with on a regular basis, whoever their heart is moved to give a card to, even to leave them anonymously in places where they don't know who will find them. And we find
mm-hmm.
that this is an incredibly meaningful and powerful interaction. And I'd be delighted, actually, to tell you and your listeners how I came to find out about this, how I was originally moved by the You Matter card and then what happened to me that led to creating this You Matter Marathon. So basically,
well,
2 years
us.
Ago...
We're dying to know at this point, because you and I had a conversation in the green room that looked like, hey, are you part of the You Matter campaign that my friend Angela Myers started many years ago? And you were like, no, not at all. This is like another movement. So, these two words to me have always been really impactful, and I think it's awesome. And anytime we can make people feel better about themselves or the fact that, you know, we're listening or we care, I'm all for it. So tell us.
So what happened, Megan, is 2 years ago, I was working on a project and was a little bit dejected, and a colleague actually gave me a card that had the words You Matter on it. And I was so touched. I really felt like I had been hugged. And I came home and I ordered some You Matter cards for myself, and I started sharing them with friends and family and was enjoying the reactions and really finding people quite delighted. So I would get a little bit more brave and hand the cards out to people in my community who I interacted with but didn't always acknowledge, like my dry cleaner or the person who sells cheese at the farmer's market. And again, their reactions were quite moving. And then one day I was standing in line in a grocery store getting ready to check out. And the woman in front of me is speaking to the cashier, and the cashier asks her how she's doing. And she looked down and she said, not so good. My husband just lost his job. My son is up to his old tricks. I just don't know how I'm going to get through the holidays. And she reached into her purse, and she pulled out food stamps. And in that moment, I didn't know what to do. I thought, should I pay for her groceries? Should I ask for her husband's resume? So I didn't do anything, Megan. I just froze. The woman completes
mm-hmm.
her transaction, and she leaves the store. And then I completed checking out, and I go into the parking lot, and it's just the two of us returning our carts. And I summoned my courage, and I went up to her, and I said, excuse me, I couldn't help but overhear. You're going through a really hard time right now. I'm so sorry. I just want you to have this. And I gave her a You Matter card, and she started to cry. And she said, you have no idea what this means to me. And we hugged. And then I went back to my car, and I started to cry. And that's when I knew there was so much power and potential
mm-hmm.
in these cards and in the interactions that they can inspire. And I thought, I want other people to feel this. And coincidentally, I was completing a 6-month certificate program in applied positive psychology, the science of human flourishing. And we had a
mm-hmm.
final project. And I thought I was going to do a final project on leadership and positive psychology, which would have been totally awesome. But my classmates kept saying, Cheryl, you're so turned on by these cards. I wonder if you could do more with them. And that's when, Megan, the idea for the You Matter Marathon was born, with the intention of seeing if we could get people to give out 10,000 cards during the month of November in 2016. That was our original goal. So that was the journey.
That's so cool. I love this. And are we giving out just physical cards, or are we being social with them? Are you online? So, are there, you know, is there a way to sort of interact on social communities for this as well?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we have a Facebook community at You Matter Marathon on Facebook where people are sharing their experiences and their pictures and stories and videos of giving out the cards. We also have graphics that people can use to share the message You Matter. I will say that our primary emphasis is on inspiring face-to-face connections. There's nothing wrong with hearing this message anyway, anytime, so I'm never going to say don't put it in the mail to someone or don't send it in an email. Of course not. For the marathon, we are encouraging these face-to-face connections, Megan, because we are just we're impoverished for this kind of interaction.
But we are on
Facebook and Twitter.
I've been thinking about this topic for, you know, as somebody who's very, very intrigued by digital transformation and how we communicate now online. I am seeing this, especially over the last, say, 6 or 12 months, this movement away from, yes, we can be social, but is it becoming hollow? Are face-to-face meetings, interactions, hangouts becoming more valuable to us somehow? You know, and I think you may be onto something here, because I think there's a lot of people out there, and I even go through this myself. You feel kind of lonely and isolated when you have an office space with just yourself, and you're, you know, Skyping and you're traveling, and, you know, a lot of things happen all at the same time, but you're not always interfacing with people face to face.
That's so true,
What led you to think that? Because I've been thinking that too, and I know when we talk, you know, I talk a lot about millennials, right? But what about the generation previous to millennials who are really wanting and craving this human interaction? Talk to us
absolutely.
About you know, your
frankly,
feelings on this.
I think every human being, regardless of generation, is craving it. I think it's part of our human human wiring is to crave and need social connection. I mean, we can't survive as an infant without another body. We need other people, and that doesn't go away. It just changes form, perhaps. But I think, you know, I do leadership coaching, so I have the privilege often of working in person. Not always. Some of my clients, of course, are not co-located with me, but I know that there's a very special quality to the face-to-face interaction. So I'm very much primed for that. And I know research tells us that there are limitations. As phenomenal as the progress that social media allows for us, people who truly couldn't otherwise connect with other people, it's been such a gift, or people from underserved populations who are looking to find community, it can be a huge asset and a balm. But it is not a substitute for day-to-day physical interactions with other human beings, whether you get that from being part of a bowling league or a Girl Scout group or going to church. We need to be with other people. And again, this transcends being an introvert or an extrovert. It's really just being part of the human race where we need this. And I think people have lost some of our social graces where we don't know how to look in each other in the eye. We're looking at our smartphones instead of looking at people. We're on train platforms looking down. And so the card just gives us a reason to look up and look out and to interact. It's almost like training wheels again, back on our social courtesies. It gives us a way of interacting with people. And I think we, unfortunately or fortunately, we need that today. We need these primers and these proddings and tools to help us regain our sense of community and connection with each other. And this is outside of work and at work. We know that the number one factor in employee engagement is, do I feel cared about? Do I feel like someone, perhaps especially my boss, cares at me at work? So when is the last time we told somebody, literally, you know, you really matter around here? When is the last time we heard those words spoken to us at work? I mean, that's a powerful, powerful message. And I really believe that people are craving these messages, especially when they're delivered from the heart. And, you know, there are people, Jane Dutton is a marvelous researcher at University of Michigan, and she studies something called high-quality connections, which are those moments of meaningful connection between individuals that can make a huge difference, not just in how we feel, but to our physical and psychological health, and then the health of organizations. So the You Matter cards are really just one example of creating a high-quality connection with somebody else.
Well, and I think You Matter matters, right? But I think what we're also talking about, I hope, with this campaign that you're on is that you're going to provide people context why. Because You Matter, I don't feel, is enough, especially when we start talking about engagement. People want to know why. People want to know how, and they want to know who. How do you do that with the You Matter? Is You Matter sort of the bridge that gets us there?
I think it's a beginning, for sure. I think You Matter is a beginning, and it can go where people want it to go. We certainly, we have individuals participating, Megan, and we have organizations and groups participate. We call them ambassadors. So we have, for instance, school systems. We have community groups. We have for-profit companies that are participating in this, hospitals, et cetera, who are doing this as part of employee engagement activities and or outreach or community civic engagement, things of that nature. And so we do have a corporate guide for the You Matter Marathon, giving people resources for how to align this activity with their other cultural initiatives. And we have a guide for schools and for teachers who are building this into their curriculum for Thanksgiving or gratitude or anti-bullying campaigns. So we do have those resources. And every week I send out a newsletter with links to articles and other communities that are doing amazing work in this space. So that's what we're doing to try to connect this simple activity in the card with other initiatives and to flesh it out, if you will.
So how can people and organizations get involved? If they've never heard of this before and they're inspired today, what next steps can we take to become part of this?
It would take less than 60 seconds. They would go to youmattermarathon.com, and it's youmattermarathon.com. On that website, there's a three-minute video that will show you the You Matter Marathon in action with live people giving out cards and genuine reactions of people and what it meant to them to get a card. There's a place to sign up, either as an individual, and something I didn't say, Megan, that's really important, is I'm sending out 30 cards for free to every individual who signs up for the marathon while supplies last, and we still have some cards left, so it's not too late. And you can also sign up as an organization, and in that case, I still send 30 cards for free, and I send the ambassador a link to how they can get all the cards needed for their organization, either through Vistaprint, we give a template, or you can print them out if budget is an issue. The cards, honestly, are not that expensive, and we give a discount code, and none of this is for profit. That goes to Vistaprint. So there's really no barriers to participation at all, and we have people from all over the world participating. Last year, we had people in every state and 59 countries. This year, we have people in every state,
that's so cool.
I think we're up to 25 countries right now, and our goal is to share 1 million cards, and we're about three-quarters of the way there. So this is a real spectacular way of contributing in the world. And if you're looking for something to do to uplift your spirits, one of the things a participant said last year, she said, carrying a You Matter card makes me feel like I have a superpower in my pocket because I know at any time I can make somebody's day. And that's what happens. This isn't just about the experience for other people who receive these cards, Megan. It's about what giving out a card a day does for us, the giver. And we know that that makes us feel better physically and psychologically, and that is the kind of uplift that the world is looking for. So people who are saying, what can I do to create a world where we are being more inclusive, where we're honoring our diversity, where we're celebrating differences and making sure everybody knows that he or she matters. This is one thing that we all can do and can have a huge life-changing impact.
Totally. Totes, as I like to say. And you know already that my community, Talent Culture, is on board. So sign us up. That's why I'm here today, to say that, you know, I'm going to take place or take part in the You Matter Marathon. I'm ready. Sign me up, okay? Sign all of us up, because, you know, I think there needs to be more of this kind of conversation in the world. Some people may say it seems or sounds fluffy, and I'll be honest with everybody, there's a part of me that's like, is this fluff? No, it's not, especially after I had to live through yesterday, yet another attack of terror, another, you know, it's just, I'm tired of it too. Let's stop the madness. It's so easy, right? There's two words, you matter. And tell us again, as we close this conversation, we're down to about another 4 minutes left. Why is You Matter so impactful to people? And then tell us in the remaining time what your plans are in the coming months. And, you know, talk to us about, you know, how you're going to continue this movement, because this is not easy. It's not easy to wake up every day and go, hey, be part of this. When it's easy to be cynical right now. It's easy to have the response that I had before of like, who cares, right? Talk us through that.
Absolutely.
A little bit. For those out there who are like, what?
So here's the thing. I would ask your listeners to ask themselves, how would the world be different if every human being knew unequivocally that he or she mattered? How would the world be different? Would there be self-harm? Would there be random acts of violence? Would there be marginalized populations? If everybody knew that they mattered, would we be able to be at peace and to live to our full potential individually and collectively? And I believe the answer is yes. And I believe we're at a time where people need to be reminded. There's a beautiful quote by Gwendolyn Brooks. She says, we are each other's harvest. We are each other's business. We are each other's magnitude and bond. That's what we're up to.
Wow.
And my vision is that one day every human being will know that they matter, and we won't need these cards anymore, because people will live in worlds and cultures where we honor each other as a matter of course, and where we can have those dialogues naturally and easily without having to have cards printed and shared and campaigns made. But right now we do, and I'm honored. I'm so honored, Megan, to have this opportunity to share this magic with the world. And I want every one of your listeners to tune in to this power, this impact that they can have in November, and by sharing these cards. So I'm motivated every morning that I get up to see, wow, what kind of magic's been unleashed today? Who's going to share a story on Facebook that's going to make me cry before I finish my cup of coffee in the morning? That's what this is about. It's already happening. This is our first day of the marathon, and there's already stories on Facebook. A mother gave cards to each of her sons, and her young son gave the card to a crossing guard who helps him get across the street every single day, and she started to cry. That was before he even entered the school this morning. Now, you think that's not going to make a difference to her day, to his day? I mean, and how do you put you can't quantify this impact. And we know that positive emotions like this broaden and build, and that's what we need. There is such a negativity bias. We're hardwired for negativity bias for a lot of reasons, and the news knows that, and so they cater to that.
Yeah.
So it's up to each one of us to counter that negativity bias by consciously putting something positive into the world. And what a great place to start, Megan. So you matter.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. And you matter as well. I want to thank you for sharing your story with us. This has been a super uplifting and interesting conversation. Happy to be a part of it, and I support you 1,000%. I think we got a lot of work to do. And continue on. Fight the good fight, would you?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Megan. I'm really, really grateful for your time and your interest.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.